It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 24th day of August 2023. I might or might not be a little punchy this evening, but, well, hell, that's okay. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between the Great Globe Round, and where, if you are listening live, you can pop right into the chat room, the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza, and be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be CO and Squeaky and Irish Dave. Hey, gang, and at least for the moment, moderated, which is to say not moderated, by
Wow.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday on The Horn, and we'll get there. We'll get there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Please, if you're listening to the podcast, be so kind as to subscribe to it. If you're new to the program, and gosh, welcome if you're new to the program. If you're new to the program, and you listen to the podcast, wherever you take it, you know, Apple Podcasts or whatever you get on the, whatever they have on the Google Play Store, or, you know, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, I guess Stitcher is deader than Pharaoh's cat, so, yeah, there's that. Please, like I said, like and subscribe. If you find something particularly enjoyable, leave a note. Leave a comment so that the algorithms will go, hey, people actually listen to this. It's only been going on for 20 years. Yeah, that kind of thing. It really is helpful. It is. But every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so as a consequence, we say thank you to our 24th day of the month subscribers. Good Lord, there's only 7 days left in the month of August. And when August is gone, we'll only have 20 or so days left of summer. Time to dust off the kerosene heater, I reckon. With the babies not in the house anymore, we can go back to heating with kerosene, which just smells so pretty, but is ever so much cheaper than, well, you know, clean coal-fried electricity. But thank you to our 24th of the month subscribers. Thank you to Josh. Thank you so very much. And thank you to Samson. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program, helping keep this little effort on the air. Fundraising goal stands at $1,735. Remember, know the count and the amount. And if we call you and you know the count and the amount, you will win at, well, no, you'll get a cowbell. Or at least the jingle of one. We're so broke we can't even send out cowbells. But we're at $1,735. And good news, a challenge on the table, courtesy of Kat in Ohio. The first time I read this, I shot Coke Zero out my nose. Kat writes, since I can't pronounce his name, and since I heard he took over the debate pageant, I give you the No Whammies Challenge for $100. You remember that game show in the 80s? Oh, Lord, yes. I'd come home from class, and one of my fraternity brothers, whose nickname was Peckerhead, would be sitting there in his bathrobe down in the chapter room and watching TV, and we could hear him all over the house, No Whammies! No Whammies! No Whammies! I think you just gave Weewek Ramaswamy a new name. Weewek No Whammy. And for that, Kat, you get a cowbell. So hopefully folks will jump in and turn that $100 into $200, and we'll get down to $15.35 to go to help toward our desperate hope of finishing August fully funded. Oh, I know. Ralph says, Marcia, oh, my nose. Oh, my nose. Oh, my nose. Pork chops and applesauce. It's the story of a Trump with Shady who was setting up his very shady pals. I haven't gotten any further pad. I stole that from my good friend Tara Devlin of Tara Buster over on Instagram. Y'all need to check her show out if you don't already. She's fantastic. So thank you, Kat, for the challenge, and it'd be great if we could knock that out right quick so that I'm not still talking about that 3 hours from now. Kat, you started something. Randy Radar, the whammy is nasty. The whammy is bad. The whammy will take away everything you had. Wah, wah, wah. Now, I'm not quite sure what to do with this note from Scary Jerry. Woot, woot, MAGA fuckers! Yeah, it was one of those nights. By the way, also a note coming in from Cynthia in the Bay Area to get the program started. I heard this on Nicole's show yesterday, Cynthia writes. George Carlin, think of how stupid the average person is and realize half of them are stupider than that. He also said, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. The first quote is scary enough, but when you add the second quote to it, I can't help but think we're all fucked. Or, in the immortal words of gone but not forgotten Scott Marinoff, we're all screwed, Robin. Nonetheless, happy surrender day, says Cynthia. Now frog march Trump into that matching orange jumpsuit. Hear, 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 sis. And sometime during prime time this evening, he'll be turning himself in. I still don't know if they're actually going to weigh him. And will they need a Hoyer lift if they do? Maybe they could use one of those slings they use with, like, you know, Belgian draft horses or Percherons or Clydesdales. Yeah? Yeah. Cynthia, I understand your very much justified cynicism. So I guess we have to do this. Yeah. I have a confession to make. I didn't watch it. I watched bits and pieces of it this morning when I felt like my sanity was at peak. And good God in heaven, can we just agree that we wet whammy swammy? No disrespect generally to South Asian folks, but damn, is there not just something about him that makes you? Okay, so look, there's always either a literary or a movie reference. In this case, it will be literary. I remember, I mean, it stayed with me. I've read it several times over the years. Flannery O'Connor, her short story, A Good Man is Hard to Find. She wrote some, well, I guess you'd call it Southern Gothic, macabre stuff. And A Good Man is hard to Find is a short story about a family going on a trip and taking grandma with them. And so it's the mom and the dad and the two little kids and grandma in the back seat. You figure out rather quickly that the kids are obnoxious little shits, but Grammy's got them all beat to thunder. And they find out during the course of their journey that a desperate killer has escaped from the local prison. The killer, only known by the sobriquet, the Misfit. And so there are news bulletins on the radio about the Misfit, and the next thing you know, Grammy's talking about how when she, this is written mid-century, so Grammy is was probably born in the 19th century, and she's talking about how when she was a girl growing up on the plantation, and she's quite certain it was around here somewhere. She can almost see the road. Yeah, that was the road, and begins to piss and moan until her son turns the car around and goes down this forlorn dirt road where, of course, they run into the Misfit. And then things get bad. It's a well-known short story. I'm going to spoil it. The Misfit kills everybody. And Grammy is still running her mouth right up to the end. And she said, why, young man, I can tell you are a young man of quality and breeding. And then, you know, he blows her brains out or strangles her or something. I don't remember. And he says of the grandmother, she might have been a good woman if there had been somebody there to kill her every day of her life. I told you Flannery O'Connor was dark. And look, Agent Fred, before you get your panties in a knot, I'm not talking about any violence here. But commensurate with what the Misfit said about the grandma, Ramahwammy might have been a decent human being if there would have been somebody there to give him a swirly and a wedgie every day of his life. Oh, what an annoying little pissant he is. Oh, Emilio, piss off. I love you. The Misfit killed everybody? Damn it, Robin, I was going to read that tonight. Sure you were. Yeah, guilt your humble hostess. There's that humble hostess. I didn't even begin to do justice to the story. So, go ahead, Emilio. You'll enjoy it. This guy's a dangerous loon. I feel like we're in a movie called Rise of the Tech Bros. whether it's a shitbird like Leon Scum or a shitbird like Weewick Ramahwammy. No whammy, no whammy. Cat, you started something. These, they're just awful. And it seems like they've all got this sort of chip on their shoulder, grievance libertarianism going for them. Alan, Cynthia writing back. The other possibility on the orange vomit's weigh-in is that he's so full of hot air that he doesn't weigh anything. Which would go to show that he has no real substance to him or anything he has to say. No value there, just totally worthless. And I agree. Of course, I think... I think if you... And I realize I'm ruining dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, but... If you gave him a high colonic, you could probably wind up imprisoning him in a fucking matchbox. Not saying. Just saying. Obligatory the Munsters reference. This comes from Lee in New York. When Lily was asked how much Herman weighs, she said, 3 spins. When he steps on the scale, the needle spins 3 times. Oh, Yvonne DiCarlo was such a wonderful actress. Weewek, Matt in San Francisco, says there's a happy orthodontist from his childhood, but even a great smile can't make up for being a tech bro who undoubtedly watches way too much Joe Rogan. He's that guy at Starbucks with his laptop taking up 2 tables, talking loud on his phone about tech stuff, and treating the staff like servants. Next. That's exactly who he is, Matt. Sitting there blathering away about how he wants to hang Ukraine out to dry. And how... Huh? It's a territorial dispute? Jesus Christ, it's an existential struggle for survival among... A nation that does not want to be rubbed off the face of the planet by a murderous authoritarian dictator. Emphasis on the first syllable. And I mean, and the star of the show was apparently Nimrata Haley. It says something about the Republican field when the person who really shines in that first pageant is a woman who got conned by the morning zoo crew of Moscow 98.8, the Volger Boltman, into thinking she was talking to the president of Poland about an imaginary island nation that she agreed existed just because she was out of her depth, and the name of the island nation was Bonomo. A reasonably intelligent person would have recognized that that was a clue. Oh, but not Nimrata. Oh, hell no. But really, the trophy has to go to Weewek. Climate change denial. I mean, how can you be a tech bro and deny climate change? I guess it's probably not actually that difficult, but still... It's kind of like the boogaloo. It plumb evades me. And when, who was it? Brett Baier and I forget which Fox, other Fox minion it was. But when they said, okay, just a show of hands. Even if he's convicted, who will still support Donald Trump if he's the nominee? And Nimrata's hand shot up, and I swear to God, she was just a tiny change in the range of motion from Zig Heiling. And the audience there in Milwaukee just about Trump-gasmed on the spot. Oh, they screamed and they hooted and they barked and they howled with just unfettered glee. It was a lot. And Chris Christie over at the end kind of, well, he did the W.C. Fields high sign. What we need is a high sign. When you come into the bank, you do this, and I'll do this. And it was kind of this little finger wave thing he did with his right hand. Didn't quite get it. And he later said, no, I was objecting to the question, or some such silly shit. And they didn't really get around to talking about Nitwit Nero till about halfway in. I feel kind of silly because yesterday I said I was looking forward to seeing Chris Christie just really bring forward that prosecutorial verve that he was alleged to have had when he was a U.S. attorney. And, you know, he wasn't there. Didn't show up. What's that, Jimmy? Jimmy writing for the Great Northwest GOP debate. The skinny guy with the funny name is just a fat frat brat. I take it you mean frat and not fat because he's skinny. Frat brat. Yeah. I'm thinking he's one of those thank you, sir, may I have another Kevin Bacon character in Animal House types. Flavio pointing out Wewek Ramaswamy. I've noticed Indian South Asians, when they come to America, fit right in with right-wing politics. Maybe that's the same with Brazilians. The ones I've met here tend to be very right-wing. Maybe as immigrants they sense the zeitgeist and try to fit in with what's most profitable. Yeah, Flavio, but I think it's more than that. I think it's, well, you got here, and you probably need to, and you're a noob, and you probably need to align with the political movement that is America first, foremost, and always, love it or leave it, because you wouldn't want anybody bouncing you out on your ass for saying that this isn't the gosh darn greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Amen. But I get your point. A lot of like first gen, second generation immigrants do tend to skew hardcore right wing. Flavio says, "Did we forget Piyush Bobby Jindal already? The United States of Amnesia. Oh, Piyush, Bobby." But yeah, we've pretty much forgotten him because his presidential timber got waterlogged early on, and he's basically political driftwood laying on a beach somewhere. Oh, I'm sorry about that, Randy Radar. Pretty much not for air. Thank you, Ralphs, for getting us started on the No Whammy Ramahwammy challenge. We got $75 to go on that now. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so very much. Hopefully people will jump in behind you, and maybe we could finish that off before 6. And bring things down even further. Fantastic if we could. Oh, and the surrender time has now been established, or at least That's what Nitwit Nero says. Anything he says, you kind of have to take with a freighter of salt. Over on his rickety, falling apart, rattle trap, run down the social media site, Tripe Social, he triped that. Well, there was a lot of triping and sniping. But he said that, he'll be...
I'll be arrested at 7:30 p.m. Thursday local time.
And went on to ballyhoo the sit-down he had with noted testicle toaster Tuckio Rose Carlson.
The biggest video on social media ever. More than double the Super Bowl. But please excuse me, I have to start getting ready to head down to Atlanta, Georgia, where murder and other violent crimes have reached levels never seen before, to get arrested by a radical left lowlife district attorney, Fonnie Willis, for a perfect phone call. And having the audacity to challenge a rigged and stolen election, the evidence is irrefutable, arrest time, 7:30 p.m.
Speaking of which, we now have, thank you, Ralphs, we now have the mugshot of Mark Meadows. Whoever the mugshot photographer is has a real talent for bringing out the true natures of his subjects. It's weird. It looks like they shoot slightly from above the subject. And Meadows has, you know, lighting highlights on the bridge of his nose and on the top of his forehead. And the end of his nose is a little reddish, and he's got some rosy cheeks. This one ain't smiling. This one looks like he would like to kill someone sooner rather than later. Oh, I'd forgotten that, Flavio. Flavio says, Piyush Bobby Jindal even had a white portrait of himself made. Remember? It was pathetic. Oh, his whole life story is pathetic. As to the pageant, Matt in San Francisco says, I had trouble staying engaged. It was just so weird. Even the setups of the questions were not based in reality. I kept finding myself doing chores. I think it was my subconscious protecting me from falling into a cue hole. They really do live in a different America than I do, Matt continues, and their ideas or policies are terrible. They all seem to just revel in cruelty. It was really kind of disturbing. But at least in the modern era, Matt, hasn't it ever been thus? Why, it was only 11 years ago that a crowd at St. Anselm's College's auditorium in New Hampshire cheered wildly when the cranky, crazy old uncle... Ron Paul, in a pageant question about healthcare, said, what are we going to do? Just let them lay around and die in the halls of the emergency room? And that assembled gaggle of Republicans clapped and cheered and whistled and hooted and yelled as if watching people die would be the most wonderful thing that ever happened to them, you know, as long as it wasn't them. Because it's never going to be them. You know, until a certain pandemic comes along and they start gargling with horse paste and drinking aquarium cleaner and keeping onions in their socks and drinking pints of pee-pee and you know, then being horizontally crucified with a garden hose down their throat and eventually expiring. The cruelty, Matt, as the saying goes, is the point. And before you think that maybe Nitwit Nero should be called on the carpet by the judge for referring to Fonnie Willis as a lowlife, bear in mind that his bond limitations are as to threatening or intimidating other witnesses or co-defendants. Nothing in those bond conditions about talking trash on the prosecuting attorney or talking trash on the judge. I guess because they are ostensibly public figures and supposed to be all grown up and able to take that. He's already said Jack Smith is a maniac. And when he gets away with this shit, he thinks he can get away with more, and eventually he will cross a line. And then it'll be on. And lo and behold, he's got a new lawyer in Georgia. Just hours before he's to surrender himself, he replaced Drew Feindling, who has been leading the defense, with Stephen Sadow, a criminal defense pettifogger from Atlanta, who is said to be a criminal defense pettifogger. And who promptly issued a statement talking about how innocent his client is. You know what he didn't do? He didn't talk about the election being rigged. Of course, all kinds of it. There were excuses. No. Drew Feindling was doing a Feindling job, but Nitwit Nero wanted to make a change. It didn't have anything to do with his performance. Again, it's what lawyers don't say that says more than what they do. Might have something to do with Drew Feindling figuring out that... Imagine having to figure this out. He wasn't going to get paid. So now it falls to another lawyer to find out he's probably going to get stiffed. Sadow said, I've been retained to represent President Trump. And I'm sure he knew early on that he had to refer to him as President Trump, his client. In the Fulton County, Georgia case, the president should never have been indicted. He is innocent of all the charges brought against him. That sounds like it was probably dictated. Because, you know, Tangerine Tiberius is rather of a dictator. We look forward to the case being dismissed, or if necessary, an unbiased, open-minded jury finding the president not guilty. The president. Yeah, this was dictated. Prosecutions intended to advance or serve the ambitions and careers of political opponents of the president have no place in our justice system. Hey, Sadow. He's not the president. He may never be able to be president again, depending on the interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Self-executing, as the people, the law professors, the Federalist Society law professors, suggest. Oh, hey, Kay. Last night's shit show. I'm sure you're talking about it. I haven't been able to consume any political news today as I've been seeking all the therapy I can get after whatever the fuck that was last night. Oh, my God. I know. But if it helps at all, okay, you really shouldn't take that thing seriously. Nobody else did. It was a clown act. All it needed was a dog. And now Fannie Willis, he can call her a lowlife all he wants to, but she's competent. And she has formally asked Fulton County Circuit Judge Scott McPhee to establish a trial date for Nitwit Nero and 18 co-defendants. The state of Georgia, through Fulton County District Attorney Fannie T. Willis, respectfully requests that this court specially set the trial in this case to commence for all 19 defendants on October 23rd, 2023. Well, wait a minute. That's, let's see, 23, 53. That's 63 days from now. No, this is the, yeah, that's 63 days from now. That should be enough to get Mr. Sadow's intestinal motility going. And see, Kenneth Cheesebro wanted a speedy trial, so Fannie Willis just said, let's do, and called his bluff. And since Nitwit Nero was desperately trying to delay the trial, kind of put the shank between his ribs and gave it a twist. Oh, no, no, don't blame me. Talk to your buddy, your co-conspirator there, Kenneth Cheesebro. He's the one that wanted the extra double plus hurry-up speedy trial. So he wants one. You know, we can't have one trial at a time for all 19 of you crooks. So we're just going to do it all at once. On October 23rd, mark your calendars, y'all. I hope Judge McAfee says, sounds good to me. Let's set that, let's establish that as the date for lighting this little bottle rocket. Darlene says, you mean that the Federalist Society law professors suddenly claim must have gotten marching orders from the Koch brothers? Sorry, pollen. Yeah, suddenly claim, or just got around to claiming. I'm not going to question the timing, the fact that they're willing to actually acknowledge the self-executing nature of the 14th Amendment. Is pretty impressive, and yeah, if they maybe the word did come down from the Koch brothers, you know, even the dead one, or maybe it came down from some other billionaire. David in South Carolina Stan said, "Big red tie, my big fat red silk necktie, necktie retired from service in 2015." Yeah. Flavio, Steve Sadow, the attorney added to ex-President Donald Trump's legal team just hours before he surrenders for arrest in Georgia, previously represented rapper Gunna, that's G-U-N-N-A, on a RICO prosecution by Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis. This is the best part. It's actually pretty hilarious, really. The Mediaite article that Flavio sent along says that there's a weird connection between Sato and Trump, or rather a false and derogatory attack he has made against D.A. Willis. Fannie Willis brought a RICO against Gunna, against the YSL Young Stoner Life, Young Slime Life rap collective, and said that they were a criminal street gang. And Stephen Sadow's client, acting on the advice and counsel of Stephen Sadow. Sadow, don't know. But, yeah, Gunna pled guilty. The rapper entered a negotiated plea known as an Alford plea, in which a defendant doesn't admit he committed the crime, but acknowledges that it is in his best interest to plead guilty. The charge Gunna faced was one count of conspiracy to violate the Racketeer-Influenced Corrupt and Corruption Act. The rapper swore that he has personal knowledge that members or associates of YSL committed crimes in furtherance of the gang, but seemed to distance himself from YSL the gang versus YSL the record label. I recognize, accept, and deeply regret that my talent and music indirectly furthered YSL the gang to the detriment of my community. Gunna confessed in signing the plea deal. YSL as a gang must end. And apparently Nitwit Nero knows about it, because he made a salacious claim that Fannie Willis had an affair with a client who was a gang member. This is because of a Rolling Stone article in which another rapper named Mondo praised Fannie Willis because he said she represented him well when she was a defense attorney. Mondo, in turn, was the co-founder of YSL. And Mondo was surprised.
Well, that's not her character. She's almost like not really street, but she understands what goes on, bro. She understands life to a certain degree. She ain't trying to take all these little black dudes down. She ain't that type of woman, man. I'm telling you, she's not.
I will resist the urge to play the video of Gunna's latest hit. Kay continues, orange asshole and his co-conspirators, can we just fast forward to the part where all of them are rotting away in prison, please? I know, but we're going to, you buy the ticket, you take the ride. Adding, Kay does,
only the best people. It only hires the best and most bigly competent people.
Try not to laugh. I know. And see, something like shifting lawyers, changing lawyers constantly, that's a delay tactic. And at some point in time, the judge will grow weary of the gamesmanship and the shenanigans and say, I don't care. I don't care if you dig up zombie Clarence Darrow. He's going to try this case on October the 23rd, y'all. Got it? And some of his other co-conspirators, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporting that a lot of the defendants just don't have the cash on hand to fight the case all the way to its conclusion. Interviewed by the AJC, defense lawyer Andrew Fleischman said, "Doing a RICO trial here grinds people down and makes it impossible for them to live their lives, and that, more than the punishment at the end, I think is what induces people to plea." Fleischman, at one point in time, was a public defender, you know, truly a meatball lawyer. And by that, I mean like meatball surgery, not like he's a meathead. And so a number of the defendants are finding that the money well has run dry. For instance, Jenna Ellis, who's going to be, as Matt pointed out, using her mugshot for her Match.com profile. "I was reliably informed Trump isn't funding any of us who are indicted. I totally agree this has become a bigger principle than just one man. So why isn't MAGA Inc. funding everyone's defense?" Rudy Giuliani's been expecting this for a while. 2 years ago, he set up a crowdfunding campaign on a right-wing site called Fundly with, wait for it, get this is great, a $5 million legal fee goal. He got 10 grand. And the page is no longer active. Then there's Give, Send, Go.
That's a Christian-based crowdfunding site for Christian-based Christians.
Like the $5.4 million they raised for neo-Nazis and various white-wing extremists. January 6th, domestic terrorists have fundraised there as well. Kathy Latham. Sorry, pollen. Is a former county MAGA chairperson. Kathy Latham said,
"While you may know me as an alternate elector and former county GOP chair, I'm also a retired public school teacher living on a teacher's pension."
She set up a funding page looking for a half a million simoleons. She's raised, something like 1% of that.
"I'm asking for your help today to help me cover legal fees during this time."
She's the platinum-haired woman with the really wide-open eyes, like a cow staring at a new gate in the mugshots.
The Georgia MAGOT Party said, well, they'll cover legal fees for the alternate electors.
And they've paid out a half a million dollars to four law firms that represent 10 out of the 16 electors. But only three of the alternate electors, you know, the frauds, got indicted. But all of them were told they were targets of the investigation. And, you know, then there's bail. There's even a special program for them so that they only have to pay 10% in fees. I don't think Nitwit Nero is going to get the special program, or at least I hope he doesn't. Action out of the Arizona Supreme Court today.
The Arizona Supreme Court just issued sanctions against the Republican National Committee, y'all. And so the Arizona Supreme Court ruled, because petitioners were not only aware that they needed a final judgment to seek appellate relief, but also misrepresented to this court that they had sought such relief when they had not done so, because they skipped the appeals court. And because this representation was the underlying premise upon which this petition was brought, and because all of petitioners' claims for trial court error can be presented on appeal, we find that the special action unnecessarily expanded the proceeding and compelled respondents to incur the unnecessary expense of filing their court-ordered response. Therefore, it is further ordered, granting Respondent Mays and Respondent Fontes's request against petitioners and for their reasonable attorney's fees incurred to respond to the petition. So the Republican National Committee and a disgruntled Republican candidate named Hamadeh have to pay up. Maggotland is just having a really bad damn day. And that's fine by me. In the midst of all this, of course, there's always going to be marginal trailer queen. Now, this is an actual sitting elected member of the House of Representatives, but I guess Right Side Broadcasting Network sent her to the pageant last night as a correspondent. Oh, and she was so mad. Because she didn't get to go into the post-debate presser. No, she wasn't there on behalf of Right Soft Brain Network. Fox News wouldn't let her in because she's a surrogate for Nitwit Nero, and, well, he boycotted the pageant. And well in advance, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda said, listen, if he boycotts, then none of his surrogates get in. And so she was in full hissy mode outside the venue. Oh, and her fury was palpable. You could hear her shrieking at Leon Scum's beach house on Mars.
Absolutely, but I'm going to tell you a story right now. We're going to make a little news for everyone watching at home. You're going to want to go ahead and share this story because I just came from backstage. Now, this is a Fox News-hosted debate, Brian, and they have something called the spin room, which is common at presidential debates. This is where, after the debate, people are supposed to be able to go in, people that are surrogates for the candidates. I'm a surrogate for President Trump. I'm also a member of Congress. So any Republican-elected president...
You know, there's something weird about hearing Jewish space laser lady talking about being a surrogate for Trump. It almost sounds like she turkey-bastard herself and is carrying his little bastard. I bet she'd like that.
President, I will be writing the legislation and passing the bills that a Republican president would sign into law. And I just want to go ahead and let you know, and for the audience listening, they just blocked us out. They would not allow myself, Matt Gaetz, any other Trump surrogates to go into the spin room.
They would not allow myself. Permit me to introduce my... Permit myself to introduce my... Jesus, she's a bit out of Austin Powers.
We argued with them. talked to them. We showed the correct credentials. We had spin room credentials. And
liar.
They would not let us in. So this is censorship. From Fox News, this is censorship, not allowing surrogates for President Trump to go into the spin room. But I think the American people know the truth. They know exactly who they're supporting for president because they're showing it in the polls over and over again. He's winning over 60%.
Before you got here, I talked about the number of views that Tucker got with President Trump. 81 million views right now and growing. So a lot of people are obviously tuning into President Trump and might not as much turned into the Fox production here. We'll go over some of the things, but what was some of the opening moments for you that stood out early on, especially when they would introduce the candidates, when each person introduced themselves?
I'm sorry. I'm still so mad that we just were blocked out. I literally am furious.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, the guy she's talking to, Brian Glenn, that might be her squeeze. Are the cool kids still using that term, her main squeeze? Because I know her honey bunny is named Brian. That much I'm certain of. Remember we had the story yesterday about how Honey Bunny got all upset that he got photobombed in Iowa by people sticking their tongues out at him and flipping them off? Yeah, that might be.
Let's go back to America. We have freedom of speech. President Trump's speech is constantly being canceled, Brian. He's being arrested and indicted in Fulton County tomorrow because of his speech, because he said the election was stolen in 2020.
Oh, wait a minute. We're going to back this up just a hair because I had an idea. Might take me a second. Because this level of dudgeon just calls for a little something extra. Yeah, you'll see.
I'm sorry. I'm still so mad that we just were blocked out. I literally am furious.
Okay, let's go back to America.
We have freedom of speech. President Trump's speech is constantly being canceled, Brian. He's being arrested and indicted in Fulton County tomorrow because of his speech, because he said the election was stolen in 2020, and now us as surrogates for President Trump supporting his...
My darling Marjorie, I am in my plane with the golden Trump on it, winging my way toward your home state of Georgia, where your darling, for whom you are his surrogate, will soon be mugshotted and fingerprinted and subjected to manifest indignities. Mark Meadows gave me that word, manifest. It's okay to use it, isn't it? It's got man in it. And my darling Marjorie, I'm your man, and I forever will be.
Candidacy, wanting to talk about his message in the spin room tonight, have been censored and blocked out. So look at what's happening in America. I think people at home, I think everyone in this country doesn't really care what those candidates had to say on that debate stage. They care so much about President Trump and what he had to say and what we wanted to say on his behalf. But you know what? This is America today.
What did they tell you when you walked in? When you went to go in the spin room? What was their actual exact response to you?
We said we showed our credentials. We said we're surrogates for President Trump. We're coming in the spin room to do media. We're also members of Congress, who pass bills that presidents sign into law, and they told us that we could not come in.
No reason.
You're not credentialed.
You're not credentialed, even though member of Congress,
yes.
Official surrogate of President
yes,
Trump.
Yes, and I'm sorry to come in hot on this interview about this. I just can't believe it just happened.
Oh, baby, you're so hot.
I really cannot believe
it. And so where's
happened.
Matt right now?
I love it when you come in hot.
He's still arguing with them.
Yeah, basically. I argued with them, and then you know what I said? You know what? Right Side has an incredible audience. Rumble has an incredible audience. So
yeah, I think the word incredible in its original sense is really well called for here. Incredible as in not believable. Yeah.
So I came out here because I thought, you know, people need to hear about this. Everyone needs to know the truth, and then we can dig in and talk about a debate that I thought was extremely boring, and I didn't find one candidate on the stage that I thought deserved to carry the MAGA mantle. I didn't find one candidate on that stage that deserved to carry forward with the America First message, and I'm really disgusted that they blocked us out of the spin room.
And that's one of the questions I know that...
I know. It's just, well, it's tragic, isn't it? Heartrending. Poor Marge. Poor surrogate Marge. Even though she was informed a long time ago that if her orange circus peanut God Emperor didn't show up, that he wouldn't be able to send his brown skirts in to fling poo around the room. She's been blocked out. Quel horreur. Ooh, I did that R really well. I know. Her main squeeze, Lee in New York, says, I'm imagining his eyes bulging out when she squeezes him. And I think you can probably get one of those little eyes bulging, squeezing Trump dolls if you look around Amazon or maybe Alibaba. Lee adds, poor Marjorie Traitor. She could not be in the room where it happened.
I know.
Emilio noting, oh, I believe Margie's writing the bills herself. With her felt-tip mascara pen and everything. Underlings, write my bill. And where's Mochaccino with no fat foam? Yeah, stop canceling President Trump all the time, Robin. Yeah, poor Trump. He's so... Poor Julius Caesar. He's so canceled. Why? No one even ever hears the words he says. He's like a tree that falls in the forest. A really big, pendulous, adipose, sap-sodden tree. Ew. I may have to take a bit break and go and chug a little Paregoric. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, mugshotted. Perhaps in the case of Nitwit Nero. Oh, Tom. The word should be mugshat. I think we have a new word. Well created, Tom. We love a new neologism. Donald Jackass Trump was mugshat today. Yep, it works. Alert the copy desk. And Sandy keeps pressing. Even on his way to Georgia, he triped.
Why is there so much murder in Atlanta? Why is there so much violent crime? People are afraid to go outside to buy a loaf of bread.
Wait. In Atlanta, you have to go outside to buy a loaf of bread? You can't just run down to the Publix? Or the Ingles? Or the Kroger's? And buy your bread in cool, air-conditioned comfort? I confess, I'm confused. This is not... When I lived in Atlanta in the toward the end of the go-go 80s, why, there was a... It was the first place I ever tasted sushi. There was a Kroger on Piedmont Road. It was known as the Disco Kroger's because there was a huge disco next to it. I mean, live band, horn section, everything. It was... Oh, what was the name of it? Oh, it was a blast. Just go and dance the night away. Now, dancing. You know, like I said, it was the go-go 80s. But nonetheless, there was a sushi bar in the Disco Kroger's. And it was good. And they sold bread inside. At least as was the fashion back then in Atlanta.
People are afraid to go outside to buy a loaf of bread. One big reason is that failed district attorney...
You know, he can scream fail, he can grunt failed until hell freezes over, but the woman won an election.
Bonnie Willis, who is campaigning and fundraising off Get Trump, much like the others, doesn't have the time, money, or interest to go after the real criminals, the really violent ones that are destroying Atlanta and its once beautiful culture and way of life.
Well, when did it have that beautiful culture and way of life? Geezer disgust us. Would that be pre-1860?
This is yet another sad day in America.
So apparently his lawyer said, listen, Fonnie Willis is fair game. You can't shit on your co-defendants. But I take it as a hopeful sign that some of these low-level... And that's, you know, that's the way RICOs work. You indict them all and let God sort them out. And usually the folks way low on the food chain start talking first. And if Judge Scott McAfee agrees with starting the trial on October 23rd, then we should start seeing plea deals relatively quickly. Some, for all we know, are already under negotiation. If some of these Georgia local yokels plead out, it could get even hotter. You know, when more fingers start pointing at Tangerine Tiberius, well, it's possible this could wind up being a trial of two or three or four or five people, or maybe just one. And if the 18 other co-conspirators go, yep, it was him. He may be, and understand, I went to law school, so I know how to use these complicated legal terms. It may well be that he is fucked. Hey, Cynthia. Trump is more than just Marge's man. Trump is her god, whom she worships and bows down to and all that. And you know what she's doing while she's down on her knees? You're classy. You didn't go ahead and say it, Cynthia.
And meanwhile, Trump would rewrite the commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, to
thou shalt not have no other Trumps before me.
Trump is God in her eyes. And as his surrogate, she no doubt wants to bear his seed. Ah, Cynthia says, vomit. Sorry about that. Well, thank God I do. This isn't a Mexican gasoline kind of night. This is a paregoric night. I'm going to sleep really soundly. Wait. Oh, everything seems so quiet and peaceful. My goodness gracious, my shoelaces are fascinating. Never mind. Hey, Ken. Ken in Northwest PA says, Marge, Stephanie Miller's show, alleged that she looks like Barney Rubble. Well, she's damn sure no Betty. Oh, Jeremy doesn't miss a lick. The 80s. Did this Kroger's also sell go-go powder? You know, the kind the late Robin Williams would approve of? You mean Brazilian marching powder or a Bolivian marching powder? Peruvian ski powder? No, they did not. That was another individual who would visit my dart bar about 2 in the morning. Great guy. Yeah, really. Okay, y'all, I was hoping we would have gotten it done by 6 o'clock, but, and I hate talking about it, you know it, but we've got $75 to go on the cat, on the no whammies challenge for Wee-Wek Ram-a-Whammy. It'd be great if we could fulfill that. Because, well, just so you know, nobody else does this, but I'll tell you. I got my meds to pay for. I got a power bill to do. I got the internet to do. And if we don't kind of catch it. Let's see. We haven't finished a month fully funded since April. So that's May, June, July, August, the entire summer. And so right now we are, if we finish the challenge, that'll take us down to 1535. That would mean Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, and last Friday are unfunded. Right now, most of Thursday is unfunded too, and this is Thursday, so we're running a week behind. If you can help out, the PayPal button's over at headon.live. Oh, and just from a social media standpoint, I got an invite code for Blue Sky. So Miss Terry reminded me this morning to go and set that up, and I did. I haven't. What do they call it? Skeeted anything yet, but I'm going to try to get active there. And big thanks for the aforementioned invite code to Mary over on that platform run by derpy Batman villain Leon Scum. Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much for that. I got a note from Jessica up in the greater metropolitan Rochester, Minnesota co-prosperity sphere. Buy the ticket, take the ride. Excellent Hunter S. Thompson reference, and provides a photo of herself as Hunter S. Thompson, Halloween of 2006. And she did a very, very credible Hunter S. Thompson look. Jessica adds, although apropos of the mugshots, I would say And again, Hunter S. Thompson. Holy Jesus, what are these goddamned animals? I didn't tell him about the bats. Poor bastard would find out about them soon enough. This is one of those pauses that's old enough to go to college. It's hard not to talk about Wee-Weck Ram-a-Whammy. No whammy, no whammy. And the National Review, whom Charlie Pierce accurately refers to as the home of American white supremacy, National Review questioned Wee-Weck last night after the pageant. And the National Review wanted to know, because he didn't get the question that the other pageant contestants did, about whether Mike Pence did the right thing in refusing to overturn the Electoral College in 2021. And Wee-Weck said, I would have done it very differently. Then began blathering. So I think that this guy is dumber in the head than a horse, than a hog is in the ass. And of course, the question that was never asked was, hey, show of hands, how many of you think Joseph Robinette Biden won the election and is the duly elected president of the United States? That might have actually shed some light on the situation. But Wee-Weck, well, he had his conspiracy theories all lined up and ready to go, and so that when National Review asked him if Mike Pencilneck Geek did the right thing, he said, so I think there was a historic opportunity that was missed to settle a score in this country, to say that we're actually going to have a national compromise on this. Huh? So he wanted a compromise between people who wanted to overturn constitutional governance and people who actually wanted to keep the Constitution around. Single-day voting on Election Day is a federal holiday, which I think Congress should have acted in that window between November and January to say, paper ballots, government-issued ID, and if that's the case, then we're not going to complain about stolen elections. And if I were there, I would have declared on January 7th saying, now I'm going to win in a free and fair election. And we think Trump is fucked up on drugs. But he wasn't done. Wee-Weck wasn't. Thank you again, Suman. Unlike what we saw with big tech and others stealing the election last time around, fix the process. Oh. So he's one of those, if they had asked that raise your hand question, is Joe Biden the duly and legally elected president of the United States, would not have raised his hand. Because he's a loon. He's a freaking loon. Unlike what we saw with big tech and others stealing the election last time around, fix the process. This time around, we get it right. And it was a missed opportunity to deliver national unity. How would it be national unity to steal an election from a majority who voted for Joe Biden? Explain me that one. That's what I would have done, but that's what I'm going to be able to do as president, is unite this country. Oh, honey, put down the crack pipe. I've got more business being president of the United States than that goober. By the way, do we have a pool on who rolls first? Will it be one of the big ones? Or will it, in fact, as I mentioned earlier, be one of the small fry? Reminds me of that early Steely Dan song. Steely Dan reference, just for Dave number 11. Throw back the little ones and pan fry the big ones. Oh, and you know, and this might be telling. You know who we haven't mentioned in regard to the pageant last night? Yeah. Florida fascist dictator Ron Monkey Up DeClantis. Because he burbled a couple of things and then more or less just sort of faded into the hedges like that meme of Ned Flanders. But the other, one of the other moments, because, you know, I did, once I felt like I was spiritually ready, you know, I watched it, the highlights, or lowlights, as it were. The way they handled, the abortion issue, the right of women to control the workings of their own reproductive systems. All of them up there were fetus fetishists, no doubt about it. Mike Pencilneck Geek tried to run immediately to the far right and said,
you know, when I committed my life to Jesus Christ, I realized I would spend my life in service of life and life for... pro-life, Jesus, I got saved.
As Dave in the Blind has reminded us, it's kind of interesting how a kid who was raised Roman Catholic only got saved when he joined an evangelical church. The National Abortion Rights Action League posted, at tonight's debate, Nikki Haley is still pretending to be a moderate on abortion. Remember, this is the same person who signed an extreme ban on abortion in South Carolina. Signed an abortion ban into law in South Carolina, spreads anti-LGBTQ plus propaganda, wants the country to be anti-woke. The head of, Jessica Valenti said, they want to make abortion later in pregnancy into this boogeyman, but there's never been better proof of how necessary it is than the stories coming out of states with abortion bans. For all the Republicans' bullshit about abortion later in pregnancy, it's worth mentioning that most of the horror stories we've seen come out of anti-choice states are from women later in pregnancy. And Nimrata pretended to be a moderate on abortion because she said,
Well, all Americans can agree that contraception should be available, and we're not going to put a woman in jail or give her the death penalty if she gets an abortion. The hell you say? That's what they want us to be grateful for. We'll keep birth control legal and won't kill you for having an abortion. Well, goodness me. Because, see, the problem the Republicans have is that the dog caught the car. And if results in places like Kansas and Ohio are any indication, the car is now dragging the fur off the dog. Alexis McGill, who's president and CEO of Alexis McGill Johnson, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood, said, like Nessie and Bigfoot, the term late-term abortion is completely made up. It's an anti-abortion propaganda with no basis in medicine, intended to confuse people. Saying it's completely made up is true, but what it is an outrageous, vulgar, deliberate lie. Doesn't happen. Partial birth abortion. And then they get, their, depending on whether it's a woman-hating man or a self-hating woman, they get either all, get a stiffy or all wet talking about, and then the baby's head emerges and the doctor stabs it with scissors. Which again, doesn't happen at all. Abortions that happen after around 21 weeks of pregnancy are about 1% of all abortions. And the people who seek them are people who have already found out that they themselves' lives are at risk from carrying the child, or that the child itself has no reasonable chance at life. Also among that 1% are little girls who are 14 and under. And you know how they get pregnant all too often. By the way, the 14 and under data and the life condition, threatening conditions and the fetal anomalies data all comes from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And meanwhile, in South Carolina, five old men declared that they know better what women need in terms of taking care of their reproductive processes than the women who have the reproductive organs themselves. And they danced all around it. And various reproductive rights groups have said, we're going to be there. We're going to question. And we're not going to let them run and hide. Monkey Up said, because the question is, would you sign a federal abortion ban like the one Miss Lindsay wants and proposed last year, 15 weeks? And Monkey Up said, I will always stand on the side of life. And Nimrata Haley said in May, well, yes, of course I'd sign a national abortion ban. Shwetika Bijal, spokesperson for Planned Parenthood Votes, said, voters know that every GOP candidate running for president would sign a national abortion ban if given the opportunity. Some, like Mike Pence, are proudly boasting about their plan to ban abortion nationwide because they know banning abortion is unpopular. Others are trying to hide their true agenda and downplay their goals to restrict access to abortion however they can. Despite their desperate attempts tonight, we know their records and we know the truth. Polls have shown all eight candidates who were at the debate are significantly trailing the GOP frontrunner, former President Donald Trump, who declined to participate in the event and worked to restrict reproductive rights while in office. I think you kind of need to mention Moscow Mitch in that mix, too, because we don't have Ann's boy Neil. We don't have Brat, and we don't have the handmaid, but for the actions of Moscow Mitch. Now back to Weewek. Matt in San Francisco says, what he lacks in intelligence, he makes up for in confidence. Isn't that a damn truth? He is confidently an absolute jackanapes. Thanks. Thanks, Ken. Can't do it right now, but yeah. Look, y'all, we are over the halfway point in the program tonight. Still trying to raise $75 to meet the challenge set up by Kat in Ohio. The No Whammies Challenge. $75 turns into $200. Thanks, Ralphs, for getting us started. Please don't let doubling challenges like this go by the boards. They don't come along every night. And every month that we finish in a hole makes it harder to keep this thing going in the next month. And once again, it's not like it's going for chlorine for the Olympic-sized pancreas-shaped swimming pool. It's not. It goes for necessities of living, and that includes electricity, water, internet, telephony, all the things that make this program happen. And the reason Planned Parenthood Action jumped on late-term abortion is because Nimrata Haley herself brought it up. Oh, and national unity, according to Weewek Ramahwammy, Emilio says, is code for you will accept whatever we force on you. National unity. Clarence. Hey, Clarence. Ramaswamy and Scott. Robin, I hate to use that word, but sometimes you have to be profane to be profound. Ramaswamy and Scott have not received their ginger wake-up call, Tim Scott. These two brown-skinned men have no chance of being nominated by the Republican Party. Alan Keyes, and if it were possible, Herman Cain, could school them on that folly. How right you are, Clarence. But remember, there's a difference Wewick wants the world to know that he's not anything like those people, to the point of blaxplaining blackness to African Americans, you know, like Don Lemon. And I thought Don Lemon was ready to come across the table in that clip from several months ago. Takes a lot of tech bro chutzpah to do something like that. And I got to thinking about it. I guess Wewick is the 2024 cycle Andrew Yang. God, it was amazing. In 2016 it was. Or was it 2020? It all runs together after a while. The dude bros were loving Andrew Yang. Absolutely besotted with him. Oh, thank you, Sean. We are now down to $55 to go in the No Whammy Challenge, courtesy of Canton, Ohio. Thank you so much. Please use this toward tonight's challenge. Sean says, we are moving towards accountability. Wewick is annoying as fuck. Yes, he is. And that seems to be the dominant word to describe him. He is annoying. Hey, Clarence, thank you. Clarence just took us down to $30 to go. And Theo just took us down to 20. And Emilio just took us down to 16. Thanks, y'all. Thank you so much. $16 turns into 200 now. Pretty amazing. And hey, Cynthia, challenge met. Thank you. And $10 to take us down to 1525. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you so much. After all I do to your naps and your snack time, that's really sweet of you. Thank you. And so if we can round up another $25, we'll be fully funded for, we'll be fully funded for last Thursday. And exactly a week behind. Thank you. Thank y'all for meeting the challenge. That's huge, 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 huge. Thank you. Ralph says, woohoo! Amen. Hey, woman. But yeah, the word, today's word from Unity is annoying. I first heard it used during my filthy morning habit today. I think it was Mike Barnicle. Interesting. Interesting and, well, kind of humorous, too. I guess, Joe didn't make it in today or something? Sometimes it's just hard. Look, I know, after 20 years of this, sometimes it's just hard to crawl in behind the microphone. It is. But you make the commitment. This is the hand-raising segment. There's the barking and the hooting and the bleating.
Just be clear, Governor Christie, you were kind of late to the game there, but you raised your hand?
No, I'm doing this. Look, I'm doing this.
And I know
this.
You did.
Whether or not you believe that the criminal charges are right or wrong. The conduct is beneath the office of President of the United States.
President Trump, I believe, was the best president of the 21st century. It's a fact. And Chris Christie, honest to God, your claim that Donald Trump is motivated by vengeance and grievance would be a lot more credible if your entire campaign were not based on vengeance and grievance against one man.
We should be asking ourselves
and Christie stood there and took
question
that.
About the weaponization of the Department of Justice. When I'm president, the first thing I'll do is fire Merrick Garland.
Merrick Garland will resign if you become president because you'll get to pick your own dipshit. Oh, the dumbassery. The weaponization of the federal government and the Department of Justice. All because they had the temerity to indict a man who can't take a dump in the morning without committing a felony. Probably because his toilet stopped up with classified documents that he tried to flush into the Atlantic Ocean. Oh.
Secondly, I'll do fire Christopher Wray because we need Lady Justice to wear a blindfold. Without that, no one has confidence in our justice system.
Do you believe?
So, Tim Scott, you're into that, are you? Blindfolds? Yeah? Well, never expected to hear that in a... Well, yeah, I kind of did expect to hear that in a Republican political pageant, but... Oh, I think I hear Nimrata Haley calling.
Mike Pence did the right thing on January 6th.
So here's what we need to do. We need to end the weaponization of these federal agents.
That's
not the question.
I know, but here's the thing.
You can answer
this
question.
Election is not about January 6th of 2021. It's about January 20th of 2025, when the next president is going to take office.
Governor Hutchinson, you did not raise your hand.
I did not raise my hand because there's an important issue we as a party have to face. And over a year ago, I said that Donald Trump was morally disqualified from being president again as a result of what happened on January 6th. More people are understanding the importance of that, including conservative legal scholars who says he may be disqualified under the 14th Amendment from being president again.
When it comes to whether President Trump should serve or not, I trust the American people. Let them vote. Let them decide. We have to look at the fact that 3/4 of Americans don't want a rematch between Trump and Biden. And we have to face the fact that Trump is the most disliked politician in America.
Okay, she's right. He's far more disliked than Joe Biden. And not everybody is put off by the idea of a Biden nitwit Nero rematch. I personally think Joe Biden can go 2-0. And the ultimate question is, does seeing him be convicted of felony after felony after felony after felony, nitwit Nero, is that really motivational for the maggots? Honestly, really? It boggles the mind. It really, really does. Thank you, TJ. We just made it to the $1,500 mark. So we're a week behind. Thank you, TJ. Thank you so much. Can't thank you enough. All of you. Everyone who keeps this all going. Thank you. Okie doke. What's that, Nimrata?
Can't win a general election that way.
You do learn a lot about these people watching these answers, some especially pitiful answers to that question from Ron DeSantis, Rick Scott, and also Vivek Ramaswamy. Mike Barnicle, I'm sorry, Tim Scott. Mike Barnicle, I'm curious, though. Chris Christie made a really interesting and, I think, powerful point. that whether or not you think he should be convicted or in the court of law, like, okay, put all that aside. His conduct alone is not what we want as American citizens. I actually think that might kind of break through for some diehard Trump supporters.
Well, the jury is out on that, Mika. That I don't know about, but it was a revealing and depressing performance, a two-hour performance. Chris Christie, I think, was one of the people who scored some points. I don't know with whom, but he certainly scored some points. Nikki Haley, another. We've seen her. She was very strong. Mm-hmm. And the former vice president, Mike Pence, had a pretty good night. All the rest of them, including the incredible, incredibly annoying Vivek Ramaswamy. Unbelievably annoying human being. Made for a long, long night. But my problem with watching the debate was this debate open, and Joe alluded to this a couple of moments ago when he was talking about what's happened to the...
I'm not being bitchy or anything, but why do they insist on calling things that aren't debates, debates? I know we've been here before. I apologize. I can't vulgarize the word debate by using it to describe a bunch of people howling into the void for the gratification of people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings. Just can't do it. Yeah, my brains won't let me. Pageant, guys. Pageant. Just call it what it is. A pageant. This is not serious stuff. It's August of 2023. September, October, November, December. 4 months before we even hit the election year. This was just an ad opportunity for Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And in turn, it created a fundraising opportunity for Mango Mussolini. And I guess it was good for testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson, too. Although he didn't stick around to watch it, he's off sucking the toes of a fascist autocrat in the form of Viktor Orban in Hungary. Yeah, back to Barnacle.
To the debt and the deficits in this country over the last 5 or 6 years, due largely to Donald Trump. This country has suffered great damage, none more so than the injection into the political bloodstream that the election of 2020 was fixed, was rigged. How do you begin a debate with any of the candidates, Republican or Democrat, without asking them the yes or no question, was Joseph R. Biden legitimately elected president of the United States? Yes or no? That way we know where you're going to go on continuing this poison that's in the political culture today. And no one asked that.
And when it was raised, not that question, but the subject of Donald Trump, it was raised an hour in and almost apologetically. We've got to get through this, talking to the audience. Please don't boo. We're going to get through this and get back to the stuff these guys want to talk
Please
about.
Please clap.
So, Amanda, I guess the question that has to be asked is, an interesting night. It was a revealing night. As Mika said, we learned a lot about some of these people and their views, particularly raising their hand. Most of them, Ron DeSantis, after checking with everyone else to see if they were raising their hands to say, yes, I would support this man, even if he's a convicted felon. The larger question, as Donald Trump reports to Fulton County later tonight, is, does any of what we saw last night matter? Yes, Governor Haley had a good night. Yes, Vivek Ramaswamy introduced himself to the country. All of that may be true, but they're all down by 30 points. They're all down by 40 points, according to the latest Yahoo News YouGov poll. Did anything that happened last night matter? Did anything change the race?
Yeah, that was my question going into this debate, sort of, you know, what is the point of this Republican primary? Because if the leading candidates are just auditioning to be Trump's top surrogate when it comes to defending him on the things that he's most vulnerable on, like his four arrests, the fact that he's getting a mugshot today, if Ron DeSantis is not willing to not even talk about the subject, but defend Trump on the subject, then why are you running against him? I mean, what is the point? If Republican primary is meant to challenge and vet candidates, right? And if you want to talk about electability, Nikki Haley sort of got there. She said, you know, Donald Trump is disliked. How about the fact that President Biden and Democrats are almost certain to make this a focus of their campaigns? These criminal charges, as this goes to the courts, is almost certain going to dominate the news in our lives for the next 2 years. If you can't get to the point about saying we really have to grapple the fact about how we prosecute alleged criminal conduct from a former president, and that matters for rule of law, I would be there for that debate. I would like to have it, but I understand why Ron DeSantis can't do it. Why can't you just say he's not going to be available to campaign against Joe Biden because he's going to be in court, right? Like, you can make an electability argument in that way, but they're not interested in doing that. And so yeah. I see this, you know, it might be the beginning of a coronation, not a real challenge.
That's a good point. Yeah, Flavio, the Oxford Union hosts debates. I think if memory serves, Toastmasters International hosts debates, public speaking. My high school had a debate class and a debate club. That was not debate at all. It was indeed a pageant, a meaningless pageant. As meaningless as Miss Universe, as vacuous and vapid, too. I think you've adequately distilled the issue, Flavio. Well done. Okay. Wow. So let's run over to the stress line. Somebody just called in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Robin.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
It's Ken. Not too bad. I find it really hilarious. I'm just going to jump right in. I find it hilarious that any Republican racist would vote for Yayek, or I still can't pronounce it, and they're saying
Wee-Wack.
Cake and Wee-Wack. So, yeah, I said that stupid, like, Wee-Wack, the week. I was thinking of the Lion King sleeps tonight. There's no way they're going to vote for them in the general. Right. So we win, right? I don't know.
I didn't see any. I didn't see anybody up there that I think could do a very good job of taking on Joe Biden. And if things hold... And that always comes with a caveat, because I remember when when Bush War One got started, you know, he was in his presidency, his poll numbers, Pappy Bush's poll numbers shot up, and I thought, Jesus Christ, we're going to get 4 more years of this dipshit. And then, lo and behold, by the time 1992 rolls around, Bubba shows up out of Arkansas. Then it was over for Pappy.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, my point is, I guess it could change. But things are on the upswing. You know, Nimrata can talk about, she's going to talk about soaring inflation, soaring unemployment, when... Actually, Biden's done a fantastic job with his team, especially with the Congress that he's been dealing with since 2022, the beginning of this year, of handling it. And his team is competent, and they're not just going to sit there and rope-a-dope and suck up punches. They're going to punch back. And, I mean, monkey up, shrieking about wokeness and diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the transes, we already saw coming out of 2022 that those issues mattered to about 5% of voters.
Exactly.
When they didn't run on things that maybe they could have scored on, but the hatred and stupidity outweighed common sense for them. Because they take money from organizations that are fueled by hate, and then those organizations insist that they run on those hate issues. But honestly, I forget the woman's name at the end of the clip there from Morning Joe, but she's got a point. And you know, how's he going to campaign? And I think we touched on it tangentially over the course of the past week. He's going to have to sit in court during his trials. He can't not be there. And that's going to be weeks of sitting there every damn day. And it will be emotionally devastating to him to have all of his sins, all of his filthy laundry aired in public, and especially with it being televised from Fulton County. And if it starts in October, late October, hoo-wee! You know, the Biden campaign will have... we're going to see that. Assuming the case remains in
Georgia.
Assuming the case remains in Fulton County Circuit Court, the order has already been entered saying cameras will be allowed, microphones will be allowed, laptops will be allowed, cell phones will be allowed, audio recording devices will be allowed. Bring it all. We're going to have transparency. But he has to sit through that.
Bye on depends.
Take the upside on the adult diaper futures. But the thing is, though, and you know, hand in glove with that is, if he's having to sit there day after day, week after week, being tried for his crimes, what's he going to do? Have a rally on Peachtree Street every night, or a rally on Biscayne Boulevard every night, or a rally on Pennsylvania Avenue every night? The man is going to be destroyed by the evidence against him, and unless Candyman Jackson shows up with a dump truck of Adderall, a 40-year-old man couldn't bear up under that load. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Speaking of Stephanie Moore, John Fugel saying his prison is right now because he's caught. He's a cornered rat, right? And so is Giuliani. You see him just lashing out. They're going to jump at their last-ditch effort to get out of it, but I don't see that happening.
Well, I'm still convinced that the ultimate trial strategy is to try to pin it all on Squidney Powell.
Okay.
Because
the defense strategy for Trump?
Yeah. Well, Trump and everybody else.
Yeah. Or Eastman.
Look, for a variety of reasons, misogyny being one of them, they'll try to hang it on Squidney Powell because they'll have some evidence that Nitwit Nero himself was saying in like December 2020,
she's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, but ultimately, didn't he decide to do the deed?
I mean, say again?
Isn't it Trump that decided ultimately to he didn't have to take her advice. He could take it or leave it, and he took it. But that doesn't absolve him of his crime, or does it? I don't know.
No. I mean, for instance, his new lawyer's previous client, Gunna, entered what was called an Alford plea, which is a plea of guilty in which the defendant says, well, I'm not saying I'm guilty, but it's probably in my best interest to plead guilty because, man, if a guilty verdict comes back, I am so fucked. And that is the power of a RICO prosecution.
Yep. Nice.
I mean, the charges that Jack Smith has brought in Miami and D.C. are powerful. Alvin Bragg's case is what it is. But this RICO charge has like shark teeth. You know how a shark's mouth has a row of teeth, and behind that a row of teeth, and behind that a row of teeth, and behind that a row of teeth? You know, it's teeth all the way back to the shark's gizzard. Well, that's what these RICO charges are. And they grind to a pulp.
Ultra fine. That's better than pulp. I worked in a paper mill, so pulp isn't that fine, but maybe like grinder dust. I don't think I have anything other to say. I don't have anything smart to contribute.
Quit that. You always contribute smart things. Don't sell yourself short.
I always do, and I am short.
It's always nice hearing from you, Kenny. You doing okay?
Well, it's imperative. Yeah, I'm doing quite all right.
Good.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add. Oh, I did want to say, though, my last contribution, my brother would have been 60 this year. And I had to make that correction. But somehow, the math sometimes adding and subtracting is not, it's harder than dividing. You know what I mean? I think.
I do.
Yeah. So now he was 60, and I did want to mention a few things. He had, quite a libertarian streak, but I think he eventually came to our side. Yeah. But boy, pancreatic cancer,
it's Biden. Ugly. It comes on quick. Cancer. Yeah, it comes on quick, and it's devastating.
Yeah, it does. It just really does. And he got the whole best surgery, and he was going to survive, but the prognosis is not good. Oh, yeah, I scheduled my colonoscopy, so that should be fun.
Oh, beautiful. They're not going to let you do it. Have you got insurance?
On a state that's civilized to have Medicaid. So.
Well, in that case, why don't you ask for Cologuard? Unless there's something about your health that.
Last time I did that, we're not going to lose everybody in this conversation. So let's not talk about that, Robin.
Okay, we won't.
I have some other issues. Yeah, because we've already pretty much spoiled everybody's appetite. All right, Robin, I'll let you go, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Ken, you be good. Take care. Thanks for the call, man.
Love you.
Bye. Ken calling from Northwest PA. It's nice for this not to be a 3-hour filler obster. And let's see, Suman, subject line, depends.
First, you came with the debate of the jackasses, and I listened because I did not have a snack in front of me. Then you came with the orange jackass, and I threw up a little in my mouth, but I survived. Then you combined the orange jackass and toilets. I slowly crawled out of that headspace. Now Ken came with the Depends, and you came with Depends Futures. I said, what the fuck, and pushed my snack aside. Where's the justice, Kincaid? Yeah, okay, Suman. That's a nice riff on the first they came for. Yeah. Sorry. It's a thing that happens here. Sometimes it's just, well, it's beyond my control. Oh, that's funny. The picture from yesterday with the nine defendants. The Claremont Institute announces the lineup for its 2023 American Political Science Association panels. And Kenneth Cheesebro, I can't stop looking. Kenneth Cheesebro sitting there, standing there, whatever, looking like clinically depressed Mr. Rogers. I mean, you've seen the picture. Am I wrong? And we've reached the silly stage of this evening's proceedings. I guess he'll be getting booked, in the next 20 minutes or so. And when I say we've reached the silly stage, ABC News, Georgia election case live updates, Trump en route to Atlanta for anticipated booking. What? Do we not have reporting on what he had for a snack on the plane? Sorry, Randy. Randy Radar. Robin said, as Randy Radar bit into a chocolate bar, look, y'all, this is not on me. You're really telling me that you're gonna tuck into some Bluebell chocolate ice cream or some Haagen-Dazs or a Hershey bar? Really? Does that seem like the wisest course of action, knowing what we know about what can happen with this program? And I'm beginning to worry that they're not going to weigh him. They're just going to take his word for it.
Oh, no, I'm 195 pounds.
You know you can be charged with perjury, right? I presume his tacky plane that took him years to find a new engine for found one up on blocks in the Okefenokee Swamp, I guess. Trump's plane, I mean, really? Trump's plane has taken off from New Jersey's Newark Liberty International Airport en route to Atlanta for his anticipated booking at the Fulton County Jail this evening. Okay. That was... What? No. Trump motorcade pulls into Newark Airport. Oh, and by the way, the October 23rd trial date, that's Kenneth Cheesebro's trial date. And I think that's what prompted Fonnie Willis to say, well, hell, let's try them all then. Trump motorcade leaves Bed Monster. Hmm.
I mean, do we really need blow by blow on this? Oh, and we talked about the presumed demise of Evgeny Prigozhin. Brother Deacon Asa told me earlier today that, no, maybe it wasn't Brother Deacon. But now there is some speculation as to him not being dead. Maybe he's partying with Elvis and Jim Morrison. I don't know. Arnold wants to know, will the booking be live on TV? Oh, they'll have cameras outside the jail and stuff, but I don't think they'll let cameras follow him all the way through. But they will be releasing the mugshot. Really want him to weigh him. I'm sorry. I know this is feeling. This seems like a fixation. But it just do. Can't help it. And I guess Monkey Up is now a meme after last night. Thousands of times it went around as Monkey Up said, I will not let you you're down. And then all of a sudden they gave one of those gassy smiles that he is becoming notorious for. So the video meme went around and love smiling like a human. Me right before letting everyone down. I will not let you down. The seldom seen 5 on the pain scale. The delayed artificial smile is comedy gold forever. And a Jim Carrey, I guess, Dumb and Dumber gif. You know, that's Jim Carrey forced smile. Yeah, Ron DeSantis smiling. Jeez. Oh, couldn't happen to a more AI guy. Sorry, I'm just looking for breaking stuff right now. We talked yesterday about the rebel nuns in Arlington, Texas. I love this headline. Rebel nuns in a high-profile chastity dispute with their bishop. And, well, some Republicans are getting a little nervous about the behavior of the maggots. Rock-ribbed Republican Ken Buck, interviewed on MSNBC, said, I think he absolutely needs to tell all Americans to stand down and allow the judicial system to take its course. We trust judges. We trust jurors. We trust appellate courts. This isn't over till it's over. Now, what's curious out of all this is that rock-ribbed Republican Ken Buck is actually a maggot and a member of the Freedom Caucus. Buck was also formerly a district attorney. He said, the fact that a prosecutor brings charges doesn't mean there's going to be a conviction. Doesn't mean that everything in those charges are going to come out at trial the way it's been charged.
I think that sending a very clear message and also having surrogates send a very clear message that violence will not be tolerated is appropriate. Ken? Not you, Ken in Northwest PA. Ken Buck? Hope in one hand and, you know, in the other. See which one fills up first. That's generally how it plays. Yeah, because he's going to take your advice, Ken. Hell, a threat of bond revocation isn't even slowing him down. Another Republican, however, is taking a slightly different tack. Over at Politico, a reporter named Greg Bluestein found a Republican who had traveled all the way to Atlanta from New York. No, I'm sorry, Woodstock, Georgia. I saw Woodstock. I thought New York. No, there's a Woodstock, Georgia. I knew a guy from Woodstock once. He came from Woodstock to the Fulton County Jail to deliver a message, according to Greg Bluestein of Politico. Joel said, I want to see the sociopath who tried to steal my vote in 2020 go to prison. He was wearing a T-shirt that said, no, really, he lost, and you're in a cult. And Joel Bluestein is an older white guy. And his T-shirt is the blue with the white stars and the red border inside, you know, the Trump design. And that's where, no, really, he lost. And you're in a cult. Maybe that's what they need to hear more than anything else. You're in a cult. It's at least a beginning. And this is hilarious. A couple of things regarding hate speech. As compared to our unfettered approach, our fetishistic approach to speech, that lovely country to our north, their psychological accrediting body, having received complaints about masculine man of masculine masculine manly masculinity, Dr. Jordan Peterson, understand, Dr. Jordan Peterson couldn't put a Band-Aid on somebody without risking their life. Well, the College of Psychologists of Ontario ordered Jordan Peterson to undergo social media training because his social media presence is nothing but a constant cesspit of bigotry, homophobia, transphobia, xenophobia, and a lot of babbling about the West for things like, remember when pride was a sin? And Ellen Page just had her breasts removed by a criminal physician.
He said that on what used to be Twitter, and it got him bounced, rightly. Dead-naming Elliot Page, misgendering him, vomiting out transphobia, hate. He had a hissy about a plus-sized model on at one point on the in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. Sorry, not beautiful. And no amount of authoritarian tolerance is going to change that. And so the College of Psychologists said, you're a licensed psychologist, and if you want to keep that license, you need to undergo some social media training. And Jordy threw a fit about that. To clarify, it's been decided I either submit to social media communication retraining or face a disciplinary hearing and possible suspension of my clinical license and the right to represent myself as a psychologist. So, rather than make any effort whatsoever to be a decent human being, this daddy to an entire generation of disaffected young men decided, by God, he was going to appeal the case to the courts. And so he took it to the Ontario Divisional Court. I confess, I don't know that much about the judicial system of Canada. But I do know that a three-judge panel of that court said, get the fuck out of here. You lose. Because in their expertise, the College of Psychology said that his toxic social media posts amounted to professional misconduct. Which they probably did. Just randomly attacking people for being alive on planet Earth. No, that's not what a PhD psychologist who has a clinical practice should be doing. And so they slammed it back in his face. And dismissed the complaint entirely. And said that the College of Psychology has the right to issue the order because of its responsibility to guard the profession of psychology in the public arena. Ever the sophist, Peterson, said,
well, I did those when I was off duty. I didn't make them as a psychologist.
Yeah, one of the judges was not buying. Paul Chavez said, Dr. Peterson sees himself functioning as a clinical psychologist in the broad public space where he claims to be helping millions of people. Because he's made that public claim. Peterson cannot have it both ways. He cannot speak as a member of a regulated profession without taking responsibility for the risk of harm that flows from him speaking in that trusted capacity. Ever the bombastic prick, Lobster Daddy Peterson said, I'll comply with their regulations, but I'm not going to do it in secret. And the reason I'm not going to do it in secret is because I don't believe I've done anything wrong. And then, in true maggot fashion, he went whining to that platform owned by derpy Batman villain Leon Scum and said, so the Ontario Court of Appeal ruled that
CP Ontario can pursue their prosecution. If you think you have a right to free speech in Canada, you're delusional. I will make every aspect of this public, and we will see what happens when utter transparency is the rule. Bring it on. Yank his fucking license. What an ass he is. But that's what toxicity looks and sounds like. Curiously, this story comes from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And so the respondents to the poll question, do you personally agree or disagree with the ruling that Dr. Jordan Peterson must complete social media training? I clicked agree. 13% agreed. 84% of the Emrys and Marvelines sitting there in their matching Barca loungers in the ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club. Oh, Emery, I disagree. That Dr. Peterson, he sure does sound like a smart guy. Yeah, Marvelini sure does. Makes me proud to be a man. Well, I mean, really, Emery, you haven't. You're not much of a man without those little blue pills. And you can't take those anymore because of your ticker. Ralph says, oh, please, tell me Jordan Peterson lost. I started writing this when you announced the verdict. Oh, yeah, he did. And there's the breaking news from the New York Times. Trump lands in Atlanta and is expected to surrender at county jail.
All right, you've got me surrounded. I surrender. Here's my little white flag.
But in terms of speech and human rights, the United States falls further and further and further behind basic human decency. Canada takes human decency and human dignity far more seriously than does the United States, especially as expressed by our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties. And so too apparently does Brazil. Their high court ruled 9-1 today that hate speech against LGBTQ plus individuals should be punished at the same level as racist hate speech. Brazil. You can get serious time for publishing hate speech. And by publishing, I don't mean it has to go out on paper. That's the legal term of art. You can get prison time for using hate speech in Brazil, and that protection has been extended to the LGBTQ plus community. Because that court actually wants to try to drag Brazil kicking and screaming into the 21st century and introduce them to basic human dignity for everyone, not just the cisgendered straight Christian people. Kind of sad, isn't it? Of course, I think in the last 14 years, something like 1,000 trans women have been murdered in Brazil. It's a little under 100 per year just for being alive. But their high court wants to try to do something about it. And so too, apparently, does the legislature.
not the Republicans in Congress, and damn sure not Fappy Thomas and Sammy Bad Breath and Brat and Ann's Boy Neil and the Handmaid and the old Balls and Strikes. Because religious liberty to hate is in the Constitution. Fuck 'em. With a dried out cactus. Okay, let's go over to the stress line, see what we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Robin.
Hey, Jerry.
Where
how are
else
you?
Would I be? I am tremendous. I've been wanting to call in since 3 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah, just from the excitement. But being the proper liberal I am, I waited till 7 o'clock so anybody else who would call in on a momentous day like today could call in and share their thoughts, their dreams, their hopes, and dirty humor. But no, alas, it was just I. So I am making history by being the first caller. And consequently, you could probably be on the 10 o'clock
well,
tonight.
I mean, Ken,
if you
did,
Ken
did call in. I mean,
I didn't hear that part. I missed that part. I'm sorry. I was
no
charging
worries.
My phone so it wouldn't go dead on a night like tonight. Hey, Ken. I heard it on the playback. But, yeah, no, I remember you helped me get through the Trump election. We were the very small contingent of reality-based progressives who went, this fucker can win. What's Hillary doing? Hillary, come on. Get shit together. Come on. We did not coronate Hillary. I remember that specifically. And I remember that night, I looked up and he had 38 electoral votes. And I was like, holy shit. Because I've been watching elections since 1980. Ed Koch, specifically. A little bit, wow. I don't believe he's not paying his co-defendants. That's the hardest part for me to swallow. I mean, everybody's watched Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. That's the first thing you do.
Sure.
Literally, that was Saul's job, to coach up the co-defendants. The big part of the show and the plot line and the MacGuffin, as it were. And he's not doing it in real life. And I'm like, why? You know, I hate the guy. I want him to step on all the tacks and all the Legos. But I want to. That's not even fair. Yeah, that's not even fair if he doesn't pay his defendants. This is going to be over in 2 months. And it's going to go poorly for him. And then the bad shit's going to start. So I don't know. I saw a poll about Joe Biden only being 1 point up on the Trumpster. But I really think all the polls are jobs. I really do. I'm thoroughly prepared and waiting for the fall of Ron DeSantis because I've been bouncing an idea around in my head and on the show about a 527 dark money tax that fundraises off of cannabis sales. There. What was that Supreme Court ruling? What was that called? That said money is speech, my friends. Which one was that?
Oh, that was Citizens United. And the person who
you're
said,
goddamn right.
And the person who said, corporations are people, my friends, human beings. That was Bishop Willard Romney.
Yeah, and goddamn is a very bad word in my vocabulary, but I feel very strongly. If that's speech, then weed is speech. That's it. This is clearly political. Red states are profiting from this thing. They're making noises about, not the alt cannabinoids. Where the alt cannabinoids are actually the medical part, believe it or not. Way less euphoria, lots of pain relief, but they're playing fucking games. I'm done. And I'm starting it in Ron DeSantis' state, the guy who has hobbled recreational cannabis and hobbled medical cannabis. It's a shit show right now, just because. So fuck him, all right? He's going to lose on that stage. He's going to lose to Disney. Then I'm going to get the rest of it. And that's exactly how I feel, which is why I don't talk about Ron DeSantis. He's an abstraction. But I'm fleshing him out, making 3D, and I'm going to embarrass the fucker. And if at the very least, he's not going to complete his term in Florida. Nope. I'm going to show everybody the shit show he is constantly in the new age in the 21st century. But back to Trump. Is he in jail yet? Is there a kicker? You need a kicker.
he's landed in Atlanta, and I guess he's on his way to Rice Street.
He should be there by now.
Let's be honest here. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little excited. My leg's shaking a little bit. I'm a bit moist. And I can't believe it. It's happening. And I think out of the three prosecutors, I think Fanny may be the worst one. I think when Jack Smith goes to sleep, he thinks she's Fanny Willis. I really do. She has hands in the fuck in. And it's glorious. And she put a little black lady stank on it, too. You guys in the back know what I'm talking about. Yes, you do. You're nodding your heads. It's glorious.
Well, just so you know, Jerry, somebody's got a helicopter hovering over Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta, and I guess they're monitoring the motorcade that will take him to the jail.
Trump's going to jail, sir. I'm on the street walking around. He's going to jail right now.
He's not going to jail.
No, he's going to jail. Take off your belt, take your shoes off, cough jail. Yes, he's going to jail. I know this. You heard. You're doing a show right now, by the way. It's being live stream, head on dot live. He's going to jail. You didn't know.
Yeah, the motorcade.
Hey, watch it on TV. How about I bet you a dollar? Next time I see you, have a dollar for me, sir. Next time you say, I live here, so have a dollar for me.
Not going to be belt and shoelaces time. He's just going to for prints and pictures. He's going to be booked. He's going to be booked, and he's going to post bail.
Okay. Unless he says something sideways. He's in Georgia, after all. I shit you not. I went to jail in Georgia on a traffic ticket talking shit. That's a bit all by itself.
But Jerry, you're not him, honey.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I'm going to see. I'm going to be arrested at 7:30.
Well, my atomic clock says it's 7:40, and they haven't left the airport.
Oh, my clock. You want to know why? Because it's kicking in. That's what I loved about all of those mugshots. They had that moment that, oh, fuck. All of them. Or they were oblivious.
Okay, now the Washington Post, maybe this isn't Hartsfield. Maybe this is the jail. The Washington Post says Donald Trump arrives at an Atlanta jail to surrender and be quickly processed.
Oh, express lane. Express lane. Robin, today, during your show, I did all the sound effects that you've done over the last 6 years, from Wolverines to everything. It was glorious. I've been doing some Scott bits here, and that's the thing I missed today. I missed Scott on a day like today. He had historical perspective. I mean, he was way smarter than he ever let on, but he had his historical perspective about this shit that would have been refreshing to hear. Him and Mr. Stress, to be honest with you. Damn, how much would I like to hear Mr. Stress talk about the Ukraine right now? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that would be good.
So this is one of them historical horror shows. Man, do you know the date today? Today is the day Trump is going to jail. That's what day it is. Yeah. And you look amazing in that yellow. It's my new favorite color. There we go. Scary Jerry. Walk around and hear more. I hope this is entertaining. Send money. The boat got a hole in it.
The boat's got a hole in it.
Yeah. We got to keep doing it. Hey, did you know, sir? Hello, sir. Did you know that Trump's going to jail right now? Trump's going to jail right now.
He's going to jail right now. He's at the jail.
He doesn't care. He's talking to his baby mama.
Oh, okay.
Trump is at the jail. He doesn't care. This is the problem with South Florida. You could say Godzilla's coming and be like, does Godzilla have a Facebook cell phone? What's his Instagram? You're apathetic, South Florida. Not even that hot today. You don't have that as an excuse.
Oh, Jerry, do you have too much coffee today, hon?
Yeah, a little bit. No, actually, I had clarity, and I had a negative situation that instead of getting mad, I turned all that angry energy into productivity, and I saw immediate results, and the person...
Okay, so just I'm keeping you updated because I'm monitoring online. Trump surrenders, yes. Now under arrest in Fulton County.
Trump is under arrest in Fulton County. Historic, almost Black history, man. It's a Black lady. She just smiled at the joke. She got the reference. That's her favorite joke lately in Florida, Black people. Ron DeSantis' job program. I'm off of,
I'm monitoring at MSNBC, and Joy Reid just smirked.
Joy Reid, of course. We're all smirking. Today, it's just hard to not just... I sense a musical, Robin, I do. That's the only thing makes me... Just break out in song. Oh, I got a MAGA type. I think I'm going to interview him because I'm a dick. I'm going to see what his feelings are here. Walking, he's in the beer aisle. Check. Got the MAGA shoes on. Check. Well, we got cat. Well, no, is that Don Cricket? No. Nah, this guy looks violent. Never mind. All right, what else is going on? Keep me updated, Robin. What's going on?
So,
by the way.
Right now, they're showing pictures of a couple of sheriff's deputies just kind of hanging out. Outside the Fulton.
Do they have big bellies, Robin?
Yes, they have very large bellies.
Okay, that's very important. Yeah, Georgia.
Hanging out outside the Fulton County Jail Intake Center.
Really? Oh, so he's out. He's cooling his heels, as they say. Yes, this is what cooling the heels, the cooling of the heels, in American criminal justice parlance means.
There is, in fact, a period of heel cooling taking place.
There is heel cooling taking place in Fulton County. Yes.
Yeah, it will not be long. It will not be long lived. He'll come back out and immediately begin posting things on Tripe Social. He'll be triping.
Hold on a second, sir. If Trump calls you tonight and needs some commentary, are you going to send it to him? No, he didn't get the joke. That's so funny. But you were in a podcast. You're famous. Tell somebody that. Anyway, go ahead.
No. That needed some commissary. That's Scary Jerry, that's good.
Hey, I got the material today.
Hey, could you say, listen, I got to make some trades. Could you send me some commissary?
Sir, did you know that Trump is in jail right now? Do you care? He's curious. He's wondering where this is all headed. He's taking his shopping cart. He's running away. He looks like he's in the medical profession, but he could ride horses. I don't know. Have a good one. You got great hair.
Dude, you are. Yeah, I mean, you introduced yourself to the entire Horn Family Community Congregation as Scary Jerry.
It's appropriate.
You might be having some problems interfacing with the locals.
No, I'm doing quite well. I'm going on. I live. It's my favorite. It's my favorite public. Oh, I love her. I am wet. You're on the air right now too. We're doing a Trump's going to jail live thing. He's going to jail. Trump. How come you don't know this? You don't watch the news? I'm embarrassed for all of you. All right. How you doing? All right, well.
Have we ever had a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation doing man on the street, woman on the street?
No. Did you know Trump's going to jail today? Do you know Trump's going to jail? You do not look like you care either. I like your face, man. Your face should be a face for loan disapproval. Yes. There we go.
You got to change the participle, Jerry. He's not going to. He is in jail right now. Prints and pictures.
In the pokey.
Prints and pictures. He is in custody. He has surrendered. He is under arrest until such time as he fully executes the bail agreement and has his mugshot and his prints taken. And please, Jesus, please let him weigh him. It's not much we're asking.
My number is 291.
291.
291 for Scary Jerry if they weigh him. By the way, Tamara just said, laughing, when Jerry said, "Oh, this one's violent. Never mind." Yeah, we needed a moment of levity.
Not me. And nobody looks interesting. Wow. Hey, people, seriously. I'm just a crazy person talking to people on the street without this show. Seriously. If not for Robin, do it for me.
Well, we're trying to crawl down under $1,500.
Have a place for me to go and send me adult supervision, as it were, right? Right.
Precisely.
And all of you, where else would you rather? Oh, hey, this guy looks good. Hey, did you know Trump is in jail right now? Right now, Trump's in jail.
Up in Atlanta.
Right the fuck now. He's in jail. And you're on a radio show right now. He's in Atlanta. He doesn't care. Cool beards here. How'd you grow that beard? How long did it take you to grow that? The beard. Cubano. Ah, buenas noches. El jefe, he's in jail. Adiós. Buenas noches. Oh, we are so liberal over here. There we go.
Well, it was reported
on
MSNBC.
Car, by the way.
It was reported on MSNBC a few minutes ago. Ralph sent this along. That Nitwit Nero had to go to a bail bondsman to come up with the 200 large.
Holy shit, he's broke.
He went to a bail bondsman with 20 grand, and the WAG writing about it said, guess he brought a bag of cash with $20,000 in $100 bills with him on the plane down from Jersey. Why do I think I hear the theme song of The Sopranos playing in the background?
Woke up this morning. Woke up this morning.
Wait a minute.
Bought myself a bag.
Hold on.
Woke up this morning. Got myself a rail.
Trump had to use a bail bondsman. Oh my God. That is the biggest newsflash of all time. What is 200 grand for?
Okay, we're getting more data. We're getting more data. We just learned something. They took his word for it. Darlene in Connecticut, per the jail records just released, they took his word for it. Trump is 6 feet, 3 inches, and 215 pounds.
Get the fuck out. Really, guys? Come on. We can't get height and weight.
I'm 6'1 and 220 right now. I'm not proud of it. I'm working on it. But if he is 6'3 and 215, I am the czarina of all the Russias. I kid you not.
Really? They took his word for it? We can't take Trump's word for shit. I'm not sure he drinks water.
You're piling them up tonight. Of course he doesn't drink water. He drinks
Diet Coke, especially with a Taco
Bell.
Especially with a Taco Bell.
Look at that calamity
trying
to drink from the bottle. Like he never drank. He's been practicing to drink water for a week and fucked it up. Hey, wheelie guy. Hey, did you know that Trump's going to jail right now? Exactly in jail. There's a guy. This is a predominantly person of color neighborhood, but there's always a white guy in the neighborhood riding wheelies. And I love this guy. I call him Wheelie Guy. That was badass. That, you know what? I would have given myself
I got a cowbell for Arnold in PA. He's 325 pounds, Arnold says. Depends will be a possession. Based on their math, Arnold says, you, meaning me, are 160. Oh, I'd be so cute at 160.
I'm 100 pounds, then, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm almost 100.
Yeah, I mean, based on the way they calculated, apparently, you have to run around in the shower to get wet.
Wow. He's still in there, though, isn't he? You know what? Fulton County is notorious
for keeping people 36 hours. You can't sleep in there either. You have to stay awake. This is a brutal place. When you're being processed, you can't just curl up and lie down. The show Atlanta made that popular. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. Everywhere else you can go, well, you know, slow down and wait for time to happen. Not in Atlanta. Stay awake, inmate. It's crazy. So, you're probably not going to get that. But let's go back to, why did Trump need a bail bondsman to come up with $200,000? Is the war treating him that bad? I'm serious. And what do I call him? Sucio Swami. That means dirty Swami. He is a total hydrocarbon agent. Anytime he actually makes sense, he's talking about hydrocarbon policy. He's an agent.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it gets better. Darlene is on this as the Horn ad hoc Trump vital stats correspondent. He's a blonde-haired white male, you know, blonde at 78.
I missed something. Hey, Darlene. Love you.
He is blonde.
How's Wanda doing?
He's blonde at 78. Well, I mean, Darlene, honestly, my hair's platinum. That's another word for white, but platinum falls under blonde, so give a girl a break, okay? But I'm also not 78.
I want a bike race between him and Biden. He was talking shit about Biden yesterday. I want a bike race between the really
cool. I want a bike race between... Yeah, never mind Leon Scum and Mark Zucker dweeb having an MMA fight. Yeah, you want to see Nitwit Nero and Joe Biden in a velodrome.
I just not even a mile race. That's what I want. And Trump can have a head start. I saw Biden with clips, and I was like, this is a serious motherfucker. I was not going to have clips. That is a commitment. And so, and the other thing, I brought this up. I don't know if you mentioned this. The person I like most in the Biden White House is that dog. You can't fool a German Shepherd. He knows when the bullshit's going down. And the fact that he's trying to bite six people, I'm like, that's a dirty White House. They know
you know what? You raise a significant point. The German Shepherd has been biting Secret Service agents, and we now find out that the Secret Service was in cahoots with the Oath Keepers. You're right.
German Shepherds are not having it. I'll just put it, if you've had one, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They know what you're up to, and they do not approve.
Oh, and just so we know, this is the first draft of history. The massive cavalcade of cops, and how is he not financially responsible for all of this infrastructure? The massive cavalcade of cops and the flashing blue light SUVs is now leaving the jail.
So he's out of jail already?
Yeah, the jailbird. Jailbird Trump has made bond.
No, I want Trump to drop soap and have it caught in his hair.
Now there went Billable Rick's dinner.
Sorry, Billable. You know what? You have to eat late and pop the popcorn afterwards. You can't, don't, you know. You know what time it is, Rick. You're an adult. Come on, now.
Well, and just so you know, Christopher said, Scary Jerry's live interview. I'm loving it. Can we get Monopoly, the Trump version, with his ugly three-chin mug peering through the bars? Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And how much for Rudy's apartment and Ivana's burial plot? Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. That would be Oriental and Baltic.
You know, I still do, sell investments. And a billionaire not liquid for $20,000 is disturbing. Or actually only liquid $20,000 is disturbing. You figure at least $2 million in cash.
Well, I mean, hold on. I don't know these things. Do they take checks?
No. Cash, money order, or credit card.
Wow. So is it safe to I wonder if it's safe to assume that he doesn't have a credit card that has a $20,000 limit.
He doesn't have a $20,000 credit line. Think about that. A real billionaire could get 200 million credit line. If you could show assets.
Yeah, the American Express Black Card.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Darlene says, howdy, Scary Jerry.
Hey, Darlene. She's my crush in Connecticut.
Hey.
I'm flowing over here. I'm just, like, glowing. And the little old lady at the end of the aisle who's flying cheese is kind of staring at me with one eye, clutching her face. She said enough. I love her.
Oh, and by the way, Randy Radar says, you better watch out for the Florida Stand Your Grounders.
I'm in South Florida.
You know your people.
Yeah, I know my people. I'm good at this. I used to do this on less serious terms in more dangerous areas. And you know what? I miss talking to people. Just randomly. Miss it. Had no idea I did so much. So, I'm getting fiber next week. How about that? Actually, middle of September. I think I'm going to go for the quarter gig.
Oh, my God. No, Tamara just sent me the sheet. He is identified as a white male, 6 feet, 3 inches tall, 215 pounds. Hair is described not just as blonde, but blonde or strawberry. Inmate, what color is your hair?
Well, you know, I think of it as blonde, but I've been told by some it's like a strawberry.
Who says that? That isn't like me and trans.
No male uses the word strawberry. That is not a male word. Like, I've never heard that in a locker room. Is this more strawberry or is it more gold? No, I've never heard that.
And they even break out what the bail is for the individual charges. Violation of the Georgia RICO Act comes in at $80,000 surety bond. And the rest of the charges are $10,000 surety bonds, meaning 120 plus 80 is 200 large.
Wow.
Thanks for that, Tamara. And I had a note. Hold on. Darlene in Connecticut. From what I've seen, they were way too deferential to that orange POS. He's already headed home. If they waive the mugshot, I'm going to be pissed.
We don't know if we're getting a mugshot, do we? Okay, what's the bet? What's the bet? $2 if you think you're getting a mugshot, send that in. And $3 if you think no mugshot. Come on, send some money in. We're having fun over here.
Yeah, we're having fun, but I'm going to have to wrap up. I've actually got a $10 challenge on the table, courtesy of Steve, who's not in New York, who wrote, I've not been able to tune in until now because I was at dinner with the family. I was watching TV, and every fucking channel has this disgusting garbage on TV. They're even interrupting TV shows to show this circus. I had to go outside.
We've never had a president go to jail before. Come on now. It's a big deal.
I had to go outside because it's making me nauseated. I'm offering I wouldn't piss in your mouth if you were on fire, nitwit Nero, $10 challenge. None of these disgusting, sickening talking heads have the least bit of shame by treating that mass of dead inside orange filth like some sort of celebrity. Dead inside orange filth gets a cowbell. Thanks for the challenge, Steve. And I hope.
Quiet security guy.
I hope maybe somebody will jump in on this. I guess we're as guilty as anybody else, but we, as opposed to the multimillionaires of the for-profit media, have actually had fun with this. And you are why we have had fun, Scary Jerry. And for that, I thank you.
It's the people show. And we're the people, damn it. Sometimes we forget. We sit there and we nod at all the propaganda channels as they tell us what to think. That they go, hey, debt is more important than a glass of water being $100 fucking dollars.
You gotta keep it real. You look really cool with the shirt.
Now,
hey, you know Trump went to jail right now? Trump just went to jail. In Atlanta. You saw the motel out already? Oh, man, you connected kids. I got it. The motel out, guys. The research department's lacking. Come on, man.
The mugshot's out?
The kids already know.
Okay, breaking news. Trump mugshot taken during booking. Joy Reid is openly giggling now. And I swear to God, this looks like the O.J. chase scene from above.
I wonder what O.J. doing right now.
And my God, heaven help you if you had to fly into Atlanta this evening, because they've got the entire lane shut, the entire southbound lane of that vast interstate complex shut down.
Oof. All those words in that sentence, and then
there's a lot. He's hemorrhaging votes at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport right now. And by the way, Lee in New York says the indicted idiot's hair. Hey, Robin. Hey, Lee. He said strawberry because he did not want to admit that it's actually ketchup. Well, now.
Well, that's two cowbells right there. That is. And that's a clincher. I'm out. I'm in Family Dollar. They don't like loud phone calls. It's a little more quieter in here.
Okay.
I love y'all, Horns.
Hang on. A little bit of a reality check from Tamara. There are fakes out regarding the mugshot. Are we sure it's real? Always good to engage in some critical thinking. I don't know. Arnold's still saying no mugshot. But, I mean, MSNBC is reporting that his mugshot was taken during the booking. And I don't know if his pettifogger is arguing yet.
Well, see, it's a national security mugshot. You can't release that. It's executive privilege. I still have executive privilege.
No, you don't. Oh, my God. Darlene in Connecticut. By the way, Michael Cohen said Trump has 30 pounds of shit in his diaper alone. Ha!
Wow. Michael Cohen's going in. I'm going to go listen. I'll be honest. I'm going to go listen to anything he has to say next, because he has words and feelings, and I'm here for it.
I agree. Right? All right. Jerry, take care.
Take care, all of you. Send money. Bye-bye.
Bye. And so that's it. As he heads back to the airport to get on his rattletrap plane that he couldn't find an engine for until he found one up on blocks in the Okefenokee Swamp, we will bid adieu until tomorrow, Friday on the front porch. Thanks, everybody, for responding to Canton, Ohio's No Whammy Challenge. And a little bit more, thank you. We are down to $1,500. That means we're fully funded up to last Friday, so we'll be $1,800 tomorrow. And try to keep knocking it down. Thanks, y'all. Thank you so much to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share and engage in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. By the way, please like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you take it. It's much appreciated. Sincerely, leave a comment for the algorithms, pretty please. And tell your friends and neighbors there's something special going on here. Okay? Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice, and a proud union shop. My God, I haven't seen Rachel Maddow this happy. I don't know if ever. She's positively glowing. Please stay safe. They're saying now that this latest mutation of COVID may actually bypass vaccines. I wouldn't not get a booster on account of that, because it's probably still going to provide you some level of protection. Wear your mask if you're around the maggots, because, well, you know. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry some with you, pocket or purse, maintain your social distance. And if some blonde Georgia woman who looks like Barney Rubble comes towards you on the sidewalk, hollering about how furious she is, well, avoid the cue ball queen like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.